Masculine Leadership. It may seem strange to write a pamphlet on submission, then start off by talking about masculine leadership. But they are so closely linked, and there has been so much distortion as to what they are, we feel that it is essential to briefly define masculine leadership. Masculine leadership is a gift from God that enables the family to function in its most perfect way. One may sincerely ask, then why is it that many supposedly good bishops and priests are against this leadership? The answer is multiple. Misinformation may be the biggest cause, along with the possibility that they themselves may have had a father who misused this authority and was abusive. This could lead one to mistakenly believe that masculine leadership is abusive. The truth being, abusiveness is a problem with both sexes. Abortion is a perfect example. Can there be anything more abusive than an abortion? Yet who would want to condemn motherhood? Society has the power to form or deform the thinking of anyone, and our bishops and priests are not exempted. A society that can take the homosexual act and make it normal can just as easily take the godly structure of the family and portray it as cruel and demeaning. Now let us go back to the husband's role. The husband is to dedicate his life to the service of God by guiding, teaching, protecting, loving, and caring for those God has entrusted into his charge. A noble task, one must admit. And if he should depart from this path, he needs the church, priests, and bishops to both admonish and encourage him. Proper guidance will enable him to shoulder his cross. In this day and time, leading a family is more than just a little cross. What the husband does not need is for someone to tell him he should not try to lead his family. For most men, this would be a welcome escape from his God-given responsibility, a responsibility of which no one, in or out of the church, can relieve him. It is his alone, and the happiness of his family rests on his leadership. Masculine leadership is power, godly power, a power that lifts a family away from mediocrity and failure to peace and contentment. Who in their right mind could possibly be against that? Now, we are ready to discuss the unpopular topic for which this pamphlet is dedicated. So, take a deep breath, and if you're a liberated woman, a sedative, and let us get started. Submission. Submission is the godly woman's response to this masculine leadership. Submission is the loving wife's sacred gift to the man that she has chosen to be one with until death. Submission is a trust the godly wife has in her God. She is saying in both words and action, God commands me to be submissive to the man I love, and God loves me, so he would never command something that would be bad for me. Her loving faith in God enables her to have a loving faith in her husband. The love that she gives becomes a source of strength in her husband. The love she gives becomes a source of love in her husband. And the love she gives is the source that she uses to mold her husband into a godly man. This is precisely what the feminist movement has taken away from the Christian family, and sad to say, many in the church have aided them. Yes, the 60% divorce rate is a scandal, a horrible scandal, but hidden behind the statistic is tremendous suffering and hurt. Suffering and hurt that could have been avoided if leaders in the church had not abandoned sound, biblical principles and replaced them with foolish and destructive feministic ideas. Our generation has lost the concept of who woman is. Woman, like man, was created for a divine purpose, and her happiness and overall well-being hinges on whether or not she is wise enough to seek out and embrace that purpose. Regrettably, too few have done so, and the 60% divorce rate is a testament to that fact. For anyone dealing with families, priests especially, Woman Today by John Fitzsimmons, published by Sheed and Ward, New York, 1952, could prove quite beneficial. In his book, Mr. Fitzsimmons states, woman shares, in a certain sense, with God, the power of creation. A statement such as this brings out the true dignity of woman and raises her to the heights of the divine, quite a difference from the vision of the average Catholic today. What is sorely needed is for knowledgeable people to develop and give family programs, people who have succeeded and can share the successes, rather than people who have failed and can only sympathize with the group. Successful people are always more demanding than their not-so-fortunate peers. They know that to succeed, one must be different. In fact, one little saying that I like is, "The successful man does what the unsuccessful man won't take the time to do." We need to understand that Christian charity is helping the unsuccessful, not imitating them. The submissive woman is quite different from her unsuccessful, unsubmissive counterpart. This can be seen in every aspect of her personality. Sternness and rigidity have no place in the life of a submissive woman. Peace and tranquility are her preference. And she has the power to transmit this peace and tranquility to the family, thereby training the children to be likewise peaceful and tranquil. This is only one of the reasons that her husband and children like to be in her company. The unsubmissive wife is quite different in several ways. One is that she is very likely to be just as critical of the submissive wife's husband as she is of her own husband. Any imperfection in the submissive wife's husband is portrayed as abusive and insensitive, and sometimes even something worse. Her gossip, in many instances, is with women of like mind, and accuracy is of little importance to these unhappy heads of houses. These women can become very vicious. Distorting the truth and outright lying is perfectly acceptable to them. Their main goal, whether consciously or unconsciously, is to inflict their disharmony of soul on anyone they can. When I encounter a woman who criticizes and complains about her own or someone else's husband, the first thing I look at is her eyes and her tongue. Both are usually sharp. Poor thing. She is well informed of her rights, but not of her duties. Since actions speak louder than words, her children are being well educated in the art of rebellion and character assassination. Consequently, both father and mother become the recipient of her destructive training, and the whole family loses. If only these poor souls would have been introduced to a book that could tell them what God wants of them. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had a book that could teach these women how God intends them to conduct their lives? Hey, I think I might have the answer. What a stroke of genius on my part. Why is it that I never hear Catholics mention this book? Let's see. I think it is called the Bible. Yes, that's it, the Bible. To the best of my recollection, I even believe the Catholic Church claims it to be the inspired Word of God. Man, what a book it must be. But I wonder why no one else has ever thought of the Bible. Or could it be that they just didn't think we needed it? I guess marriage is much like purchasing an unassembled barbecue pit. You don't need the instructions until you are certain you cannot make it work. So let's get out the instruction manual and put our family together. More quotes from Woman Today. The essence of woman is that she is a creature who is made to love and be loved. In Eve, she used this power to tempt man and bring about his downfall. One of the results of the fall was that henceforward this love could so easily turn to concupiscence and desire. Having once tempted man to sin, woman was now set for his downfall, and her love, instead of helping him, was now used to tempt and ensnare him, to lead him not to the heights, but to depths. Yet all was restored, and restored in a most wonderful way in the person of Our Lady, who was at one and the same time virgin, wife, and mother. She was the first to fulfill God's original plan for her sex, an abounding and pure love which led her to make a complete gift of herself, and from which flowed her motherhood, accomplished without pain or suffering. Her motherhood extends to all those who have become one with her Son, for He gave them all to her in those mysterious words on Calvary, "Woman, behold thy son." Our Lady's act was an expression of her love of God. There was nothing blind or servile about her submission and renunciation. The fundamental reason for her loving acceptance was the conformity of her will to the will of God. She kept her eyes on God, like those of a maidservant on the hands of her mistress. Still quoting from Woman Today, "Unless a woman has found a husband, child, or lover, or has sublimated her emotional needs in a higher and religious love, she is restless,
unsatisfied, and frustrated. She is impelled by her very nature to share the joys and sorrows of others. She is made to love and be loved, and she cannot find her sufficiency in herself. That is why a woman who is selfish in a self-centered kind of way is an anomaly, more distressing to encounter than a selfish man. She has denied her nature, for she has ceased to exist for others, and in doing so, she has dried up at its source the possibility of those emotional experiences which are vital to her femininity. She is a creature whose only full life is one lived in and for others. Help from the pulpit. We are in desperate need of help from the pulpit. I have often said that priests do not know the magnitude of the statements they make from the pulpit. It can bring about tremendous harm as well as tremendous good. It all depends on how accurate his teachings are, as well as how enthusiastically he presents them. Either way, the priest has tremendous power. A young woman declared to me, after viewing a family life video in which a priest, my wife, and I had each given a half-hour talk, that it was the first time she had ever heard a priest uphold the traditional family life principles. And even though she trusted and believed in what I had been telling her, it reinforced her convictions tremendously after hearing what the good father had to say. That is what is needed. Good priests learning about traditional family practices and supporting their people in their efforts to live as God intends them to live, rather than how the world lives. Priests are in the position to make or break the family, for it is extremely difficult for a family to live a godly life without the aid of the priest.
For those who are against submission. For those who say that women do not have to be submissive to their husbands, let us quote from a few papal documents. This first papal document by Pope Pius XI is quoting from Casti Canubi. This order includes both the primacy of the husband with regard to the wife and children and the ready subjection of the wife and her willing obedience, which the Apostle commands in these words, "Let woman be subject to her husband as to the Lord." And, with great wisdom, our predecessor, Leo XIII, of happy memory, in the encyclical on Christian marriage, which we have already mentioned, speaking of this order to be maintained between man and wife, teaches, "The husband is the chief of the family and the head of the wife." Then under Errors Concerning Marriage, we read, "The same false prophets who try to dim the luster of conjugal faith and purity do not scruple to do away with the honorable and trusting obedience which the woman owes the man. Many of them go even further and assert that such a subjection of one party to the other is unworthy of human dignity, that the right of husband and wife are equal, wherefore they boldly proclaim the emancipation of the woman has been or ought to be effected." Closing thoughts. One can readily see how far we have departed from the sound teachings of Christ and His Church. Not only has the divorce rate skyrocketed, but the families who do fight it out to the bitter end are stressed to the breaking point. Their love of God and their desire to be faithful to their marriage vows are not enough to bring about the coveted peace and tranquility for which they long. These poor souls were never taught that only the everyday living out of God's holy will, as prescribed in Scripture, could produce this tranquility and peace. My closing thought is this. You and only you will choose to whom you will listen. With every choice you make comes that choice's consequence. Yes, my friend, our actions have consequences, so be cautious from whom you take advice. A vast majority of our Christian families are either divorced or in near-divorce situations. I would like to challenge anyone to find a loving and submissive wife in this group. Another plus to consider is, submissive women have much more power over their husbands than their unsubmissive counterpart. She has the power to take an ordinary man and turn him into a true godly leader, and then can proudly say, "That's my husband." We must never let the world confuse us as to what submission really is. It is not the taking away of the wife's freedom by an oppressive husband. This is the correct definition for you to lock into your mind so that you may never be confused. Submission is the wife freely and enthusiastically giving of her will to her husband, The man she knows loves her as Christ loves the church. Our women today are not keeping up with the times. They have chosen to live in the pre-Christian past instead of moving up to the future. By that I mean they are conducting themselves as Eve did in the garden. She wanted to be like God. Ladies need to move up to the new Eve, our Blessed Lady. She wanted it to be done unto her according to God's word. Yes, it is Mary that Christian women, gentle women, must emulate if they are ever to understand the beauty of submission. The next pamphlet will be addressing the facts concerning the woman's wearing of the veil. That veil which caused feminist women to defy scripture, tradition, and canon law, and lead many Catholic women into the sin of disobedience.